And welcome again to Brew Crew Online. I am Benjamin Orr, and joining to me tonight are staffers Kurt Hoag and Lou Wilson. Really, in the past week, the Brewers have done well, and they're really doing well in the month of June as compared to the dreadful month of May. They already have more wins than they did in May. In the past week, Ryan Braun hasn't really played all that much due to a thumb injury, but he's hoping to get back in the lineup, maybe get Cincinnati in the coming weekend, but we'll see. And really, the Brewers just, they look like they're more together, like they're a more cohesive bunch than they were. The starting pitching's starting to do well. Gallardo just went 8 innings in a game the other day, so, you know, everything looks like it's really blending together for this team right now.
Yeah, I mean, we had 3 pitchers in 1 week go at least 7 innings, which, I mean, that hadn't happened all season. So, it was a good week. It kind of made you feel like maybe not all hope was lost.
Yeah, Ben, you touched a little on without Ryan Braun in the lineup, and the team still put up 10 runs on Wednesday night and a bunch of runs against the Phillies, and they put up some more on Monday. Granted, it's the Marlins, and the Marlins suck, but it's still pretty nice to, you know, put up big numbers on offense without the MVP in the lineup.
You know what I kept thinking during that Marlins series was, if your team was terrible, why would you build a park that's so gigantic?
With fish tanks.
Yeah, like, shouldn't you be playing into your strengths? Why on earth would you build this park that has these giant gaping alleys in right center and left center? Just sort of, like, I kept thinking that this entire series I would watch and go, why is this field so big?
It always looks dark in there, too.
Yeah, why is that?
If you watch during day games, the lighting must really suck, or maybe just because Florida's so bad and they have this cloud over them all the time. I mean, that's where they suck. It's dark.
I mean, you think they'd build it to, you know, at least help with, you know, Giancarlo's power, but... Eh.
Well, I mean, you would think that you would just... You're playing in an area that has such high humidity anyways. You would think that you wouldn't... You would want a place where the ball, you know, could get out without having to travel such great distances. Because the humidity just kind of kills the baseball. I don't know. It just seemed... It seemed like the Brewers were way more suited to play in a ballpark like that than the Marlins. Well, the Marlins aren't fit to play in any ballpark. They could play in my backyard, probably.
Can we just bash the Marlins all show?
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be the weirdest thing that's happened in the last few weeks, Kurt. It would not be the strangest thing. But, I mean, that's not fair. That's kicking a guy when he's standing up, but shouldn't be. And then he falls down, and then you kick him more. The Marlins, they have enough to worry about. They don't need us.
You know, in the past 4 games for the Brewers, you know, the one against Philadelphia and the 3 against the Marlins, they outscored the opponent 20-6. I mean, the Marlins only put up, 20-7. I can't do simple addition. Marlins only scored 7 runs against. 6 runs. See,
Now, Ben, which is it? Is it 6 or is it
7? The Marlins scored 6 runs in that one game against Philadelphia. We beat them 9-1. But, I mean, you have a 9-1 win, a 6-1 win, and then a 10-1 win. I mean, the Brewers' offense is really coming to life. I mean, Carlos Gomez is doing well. Gene Segura is just on fire. Aoki is still getting at least 2 hits a game. And even Ricky Weeks, I mean, he's hitting solo home runs and at least getting a hit every once in a while and really proving that, you know, hey, you know, you don't replace me with a scooter because I'm still very much alive. So this is a team that... that we know has this offensive potential, and they're really showing it. And yeah, like Kurt said, it is the Marlins, so it's kind of to be expected. And not to really knock on Marlins fans, because, well, Marlins fans, I mean, it's something else. But not to really knock on the Marlins, because the Brewers went through the same thing in May, but it's nice to see that, you know, there are signs of life now.
Well, you have to beat teams that are worse than you. I mean, them's just the rules. You can't, you know, if they got swept by the Marlins, I mean, we would really know where we stood. But so we're better than the Marlins for sure. We're probably better than the Phillies, which is nice. I mean, at this point, I'm trying not to get too excited about it. You know, my article this week was about what I've been calling the scooter effect, which seems like ever since scooter came up, everybody seems to be playing a little bit better. And I don't know that it's directly attributed to him specifically, but whenever you make changes like that where you let go of a veteran guy and you call up some younger guys, usually there's some sort of reaction. I'm just glad that this one seems to be going in our favor.
Yeah, it seemed to be, and I don't know, like you said, if it's a direct correlation with Scooter coming up, but definitely with Ricky Weeks, it seemed to really, you know, charge his batteries. I mean, the day Scooter comes up, he hits two home runs, and then he just goes on this tear, really, ever since Scooter was up here. So you have to wonder if there's some direct correlation with Ricky Weeks mentally, you know, with that, you know, potentially losing his job to a rookie. So whatever it was, just hopefully it keeps on going.
It was really nice to have Ricky all of a sudden wake up when he comes to Miami. But I think I at least felt like I'd seen this coming for a while. He'd been hitting the ball hard as opposed to, you know, just hitting little dinky grounders and striking out a lot. And now I think he's on something like a 13-game hit streak when he starts. So, and Ricky Weeks was not going to hit 180 all year. And so he'll start to heat it up, and he'll probably keep this up for, who knows, a couple weeks, a couple months, and that's really what's going to catapult the offense for the rest of the year with, I mean, not only Ricky, but then you got Carlos Gomez, and you got Gene Segura and Ryan Braun and Ramos, and then Corey Hart's going to come back. So the offense, I feel, is in a good position for the rest of the year.
Yeah, and with this series coming up against the Reds and, you know, in Cincinnati, obviously not a lot of high expectations there. The Reds always seem to have, you know, our number. But, you know, you have Lowe's pitching in this series, you have Gallardo pitching in this series, and you have Willie Peralta. So, I mean, Lowe's has been kind of, he started off well and has kind of really not done as well as he could have. I mean, he's won a game since then, which is the second win. Gallardo looked fantastic in his last outing, and even Peralta's picked it up a little bit. But then again, you're going against Bronson Arroyo, Homer Bailey, Johnny Cueto in this series, and then you have all the bats of the Reds. You have, you know, obviously Joey Votto, Brandon Phillips, Jay Bruce, Todd Frazier, Sin Shu Chu, and just where does it end, really? But if we can at least take one out of them and then we go on to play Houston for three games, I mean, the Brewers will at least be rolling with something. Already, June has become a better month than May, but, you know, you have to wonder if they do get swept by the Reds, are they going to regress to where they were?
Yeah, I don't know. We're not very good against the Reds for whatever reason. I don't know if it's just a mental thing or what, but it just seems like no lead is ever safe when we play the Reds. If it's not Votto, it's Bruce. If it's not Bruce, it's Phillips. If it's not Phillips, it's whoever else plays on that stupid team. And I hate playing the Reds almost as much as I hate playing the Cardinals these days. Now that Pujols is gone, I feel like the Cardinals are much more human.
I feel like the Brewers should at least take one against the Reds. With the, you know, the way starting pitching's started to come back. Remember last time they just got annihilated in Cincy?
It was brutal.
That was when Burgos gave up about 636 runs, I think it was, and like an inning and a third. And
it was a good game.
Giovanni got rocked. So now, you know, after three or four straight good, really good starts from whoever the starting pitcher was on that day, that'll carry over at least once, you'd like to think, against Cincinnati.
Yeah, and, I mean, Cincinnati is battling with St. Louis. I mean, Cincinnati is no assured lock this year for the NL Central. St. Louis right up there, and Pittsburgh's right there with them as well. So, I mean, obviously Cincinnati isn't doing poorly this year, but, you know, you either have to credit, you know, St. Louis for what they're doing, or maybe Cincinnati just wasn't as sharp in a few games, but obviously this is still a very, very tough team. So, like I said, you know, not a whole lot of expectations going into this series, but, you know, if they can squeak out one win, then it maybe won't be all for crap.
First of all, Ben, we never give the Cardinals credit for anything. I'm surprised you didn't know that. I don't know if this is the first time you're hearing this, but we never give them credit for anything. It's luck, and they don't deserve it. If they won one, I'd be pretty happy. I'm so not an optimist about playing the Reds, but it is nice to kind of have the Marlins and then the Reds and then the Astros, because if you do get embarrassed by Cincinnati, you kind of went into it feeling good. And you can come out of, you know, the road trip feeling pretty good. So we got lucky on the scheduling on that one, because that Red Series, it could be one that completely off or derails the season, but then we get to play Houston, and we can't beat on them, then who can we beat on?
Yeah, and, you know, we were talking before, even last week, and probably going into this week, as July, you know, comes closer, you know, obviously the trade deadline is something that the Brewers are probably wondering about, you know, especially with, depending on how June finishes out, where they're going to be. And I'm not saying the Brewers are going to be buyers or sellers in, you know, in concrete, but, you know, if somebody's going to this point, I'm thinking more than likely it's going to have to be Aramis Ramirez, because with Corey Hart probably not back until after the All-Star game now due to his latest setback, you know, obviously nobody's going to really want a guy who's been out for more than half of the season. And, you know, Aramis Ramirez, 34 years old, still has the power, still can play third base. You have to wonder what exactly the Brewers can get for him, but hey, any little bit helps.
Aramis Ramirez will get traded simply because of Juan Francisco. And in the words of Forrest Gump, that's all I have to say about that.
That's called the Juan Francisco effect.
Yeah, there you go, the Juan Francisco effect. If Corey Hart was back sooner, it could be either of them, but because that's not the case, Juan Francisco has proven to be perfectly serviceable as an everyday either first or third baseman.
Hey, so, once the Brewers start winning every game and climbing back into this pennant race, that's definitely the Juan Francisco effect. One game at a time, they say.
Nice. That's very clever.
I've been waiting for a player named Juan, you know, just to...
You've had that joke chambered since you were 13 years old. You've been sitting on that joke for 5 years.
Maybe he's the chosen one.
You know what they say, it takes Juan to know Juan.
I feel like Juan puns are going to become a daily segment of this show, or a weekly segment of this show.
It's not something we should be proud of.
No. I feel like we could have done something like that earlier in the season with UniB, but I just, the fact that we still talk about him.
Kurt was right, Juan is way better.
When UniB was good, it was fun. That was a good time.
Yeah, those were the fun days. I was happy then.
And he reverted to sucking.
Yeah. Come on, man. I mean, what did we really expect? I mean, you know, you can't... My dad always says you can dress a turd in a tuxedo, but it's still a turd. So...
Or in this case, it's still UniB.
Yeah, so, I mean, in that scenario, UniB, unfortunately, is said turd. And, you know... I feel like he contributes more now than he did when he was an everyday player a couple years ago, so I don't mind having him around now. I've made peace with Mini Betancourt.
Have you made peace with Juan Francisco Rodriguez?
No, never. I don't think that'll ever happen. He could save us 55 games this year, and I want any part of him.
Yeah, that's actually a really good transition, because I was thinking about that being the next topic, is...
How dare you? You knew that I was going to be on the show. You cold, heartless bastard.
Well, I'm just saying, I was just looking at it, and it's just like, you have to wonder, you know, is K-Rod going to be this effective all season? I mean, he's only given up one run in 11 outings, and it's just like, it's like you're kind of waiting for, like, a bomb to go off, and you're just not sure if it's going off. It's just, I feel like with Francisco Rodriguez, it's like it really is a ticking time bomb with him, because he'll do well, and then it's just like...
I'd like to guarantee Ben. Francisco Rodriguez, he's not going to hold this all year. He's going to regress, kind of like how UniB did. And UniB did it nasty, but Rodriguez won't be that... His regression won't be at that level, per se. But he's not going to be able to hold this up all year. But on the bright side, even if he does go through, you know, a rough week, the Brewers have options in John Axford and Jim Henderson that have closed in the past and can get the job done.
I think the best thing for everybody, by which I mean myself, would be for Francisco Rodriguez to close every game from now until the All-Star break, get traded on the night of the All-Star break, to a team that then doesn't actually make the playoffs. That's really what I am secretly hoping for.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a reason why Doug Mobley wanted to bring him back. Whatever that reason that is, I honestly have no idea. Because I really didn't think there was a place for Rodriguez. But hey, I mean, I guess just enjoy it while it lasts. He's clearly not going to be closing anymore with Henderson off the DL. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's just one of those things you don't really want to question. But hey, if it works, it works. I mean,
well, at the time, it was a really low-risk investment.
Yeah.
Pitch him in the minors for a few games. If he makes it, he makes it. If he doesn't, goodbye, K-Rod. And remember that back then the bullpen was awful. Mike Gonzalez was trash. John Axford was blowing games. And really the only one you could trust was Jim Henderson. So he's been a nice addition, but I'd like to see if the Brewers could get, you know, a little piece for him in the trade deadline.
Be nice. And then we might not have to actually endure the meltdown, which is inevitable. Yeah. So at least we won't.
It's about to happen.
It's going to happen. And then afterwards, he's probably going to punch his wife.
Well, didn't he punch?
And that's the show.
And then the show. Sorry, that was a little bit. That was a little bit of anger that I still have for him about that. Because you know, who cares about spousal abuse when there's steroids involved, right, Bud Selig? Because he listens to the show because he loves the Brewers so much.
Reviewing the Brewer tonight endorses beating up anybody over steroids or baseball or Bud Selig. Maybe being up Bud Selig, I don't know.
No, he'd take me.
He's like 80 years old.
I know, but he's wiry.
Like me.
There you go. Yeah, like Kurt. Kurt, is that a good model? Is that what you're going to grow up to be? You're going to kind of have that same body shape?
Well,
I mean, facially you're much better looking, so you got that, so you're fine there. I just mean, you know.
I think it's imminent because I'm just looking at Bud Selig now, and he went to University of Wisconsin-Madison. So.
Uh-oh, Ben.
Uh-oh.
You're onto something. Kurt, that's your future, buddy.
Actually, it's funny because I'm working on the Mitchell Report right now. So.
Great. Wait, are you serious?
No, actually, I just found a piece of a loose leaf paper with Ryan Braun's name on it.
Oh, perfect. There you go.
And that
guilty.
I found him. I found the Mitchell Report. It's very thorough. Here it is. For your consideration.
And moving on, you know, we talked about this particular player really all year. And I think, you know, in the grand scheme of things, because Milwaukee is not a big market town. Really, except Wisconsin isn't, aside from the Packers. But Gene Segura really has become one of the best players, not only, you know, internationally, but in both leagues, you know, at the shortstop position. You hear so much about him, you hear so much about him from Brewers fans and from Brewers writers, but you don't hear about him in the grand scheme of things. I mean, you look at the All-Star game, which kind of is a joke because it's a popularity contest. And Segura isn't leading. I mean, Tolowitzki's leading, and then you have Brandon Crawford, the Giants behind him, and then you have Segura. But I just love talking about this guy. He's just so impressive.
Your casual baseball fan has no idea who Gene Segura is, has never heard of him, doesn't know anything about him. The only people nationally who really know about him are you know, people like us who study the game and are aware of all the players on all the teams. It's just kind of... It's sad that he's not going to get to start in the All-Star game, which at this point he rightfully deserves because he's not a household name. But soon number 9 will be on the lips of everyone.
So at this point, what we can say is if you're a Brewer fan and you're listening, you need to go to MLB.com right now and vote for Gene Segura 25 times. Yeah, I don't care you can vote for Yadier Molina. You can vote for Matt Carpenter. You can vote for Alan Craig. I don't care. Just vote for Gene Segura 25 times because there is no way Brandon Crawford deserves to start over Gene Segura. And that's my rant for the day.
That was good. My rant involved someone being punched in the face, so you did much better than I did.
Ben, you're...
So,
I'm in a good mood today. I'm not really ranting.
I'm not in a bad mood. I just, you know, Me and K-Rod, we're not friends.
Nor is K-Rod and his wife.
Ha ha! Buzzing.
Buzzinger.
But also, another brewer that I think a lot of people need to vote for is Carlos Gomez as well. So, people listening, Brewers fans, not Brewers fans, that one Ukrainian guy that Lou and I were talking about last week, vote for Segura and Gomez. Please.
You know what? Carlos Gomez, I don't remember what it was I wrote about it, but that cat needs to get a bigger, either or a smaller helmet, or he needs to grow more hair.
Or just slow down.
Yeah, maybe slowing down. Well, actually, I don't know that I want him to do that, but I swear, his helmet just does, it will never stay on. It never stays on through a whole game. I don't think I've ever seen him get through a whole game without his helmet coming up. Whether he's swinging violently at a pitch, or he's sliding somewhere, the helmet is always
but
coming off.
You know, one of the things I love about him and Segura is just the fact that they're always all out and diving and making plays on defense and beating out infield hits. And, you know, it just makes them even more likable. And they're pretty awesome people.
It's always nice to have the National League 1 and 2 guys in triples and to also lead the National League in infield hits. That really tells you all you need to know about those two guys.
And also, after last night's game, Carlos Gomez leads leads all of baseball in wins above replacement.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely insane.
If somebody would have said before the season that by mid-June, Carlos Gomez would be leading in WAR, there's no possible way that I would have believed.
I mean, Mike Trout, Miguel Cabrera, Ryan Braun, Joey Votto, all those guys. And it's Carlos Gomez. That's pretty awesome.
That's shocking. And yet we're still 11 games, 10 games, whatever we are, under 500.
Hey, but we're moving up. We're moving on up, though.
Yes, that's true. I mean, they're climbing their way out, and there's still a long way to go, but...
Oh, yeah, they're definitely not a 70-win team. They've got three of the best hitters in the league this year, and their starting pitching's going to shape around.
I mean, it has to. It certainly couldn't get much worse than what
it was. Not that bad.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about writing an article about this, but I figure it's better a podcast discussion, considering how we can get so many different views out of this. But Mike Fiers is an interesting character. I don't know exactly what his future is with the club, considering he'll do okay, and then he'll just, like, explode and just forget how to pitch. We know he can pitch. I mean, it was evident last year. We know he can start. But it seems like, to me, Fiers is a lot better in long relief. You put him in for two, maybe three innings, he'll do fine. Maybe he'll give up a run, that's it. But you have him start, and it's like he's in a foreign land, and he doesn't know what he's doing, and he's given up five runs, and just... You know, so... Kurt, Lou, what is your take on Fiers' future with the Brewers? Does he stay with the team? Do they let him go? What happens with him?
I think go ahead, Lou. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I mean, I didn't really have much. I was just because I don't know why you'd get rid of him. He's still really young. You still have control of him for a few more years. I mean, last year he was a nice surprise, and it's not really, I guess, a surprise that he's not as good as he was last year, because I think that was sort of a bit of luck. Now that there's a book on him, I think relief is the best he can hope for.
Yeah, he kind of lost his... Last year, you know, he kind of had some sort of mystical effect, you know, somehow he would get hitters out. He doesn't throw hard, and his breaking stuff, you know, is kind of uncontrollable. So I think this year, he kind of lost some of that. It's... Some of his ability to go late in games, you see guys see second or third time through, they hit him hard. And so he's been, the splits between bullpen and starting there's a greater difference, and you can tell he's been a lot more effective in the bullpen. But going forward, he's one of a bunch of guys like Tyler Thornburg, Lily, Hiram Burgos, and then you got other guys like Taylor Youngman it's a big group of six or seven guys, including Fiers, that you hope you get at least two or three quality big league starters out of them in the next 2 years.
Taylor Youngman is a beast right now. If you are not paying attention to what that kid is doing, Just yeah. mowing people down.
I keep hearing a lot about Taylor Youngman, and it just, you know, he's a very young pitcher. Obviously, still has a while before he'll be up here, at least on a consistent basis. But, man, Youngman is doing well.
Also, another one that's been doing well is Johnny Helwig and Jim Nelson.
I liked Helwig during spring training. I was really into Helwig. I thought, you know, you just watched him throw, and you were just sort of like, man, that kid really can really throw some heat. There is some major pitching talent on the way. You just gotta, we just gotta not rush it.
And then if you add that to the core of Braun, Segura, Gomez that you hope can stick around for, they can sign all three of those guys long term. You throw some of that young pitching in there, and hey.
Lock up Uni Betancourt to an 8-year, $200 million deal.
Yeah, that's what home I'm talking about. Maybe bring back Mark Kotze.
He has the will to win.
Oh yeah, we could bring back Mark Kotze to complete the championship team.
And Brooks Conrad just to please Kurt.
Yes, I love Brooks Conrad. And can we get Blake Lolly while we're at it?
Yeah, let's bring him back too. That went really well.
And then we'll have promotional bobblehead nights for each one of them.
That'd be the worst bobblehead night ever.
You'd think, but you never know. I mean, we would have.
I'd take a Uni Bomber bobblehead. That'd sit up on my mantelpiece.
Do you have a mantelpiece?
No.
I was gonna say because I have a house and I don't even have a mantelpiece, so I was gonna be really impressed if you had a mantelpiece.
No, don't worry. I live in Brown Deer. We don't have nice things here.
Oh, come on. I've been to Brown Deer. It's better than Racine.
What did you do in Brown Deer?
Well, I went to high school in Kenosha, so I've been to Brown Deer.
It's nothing to... Okay.
I mean, I don't think... I don't know that I did anything in Brown Deer. Like, I didn't hang out at a local place.
Well, sometimes in Brown Deer, we congregate at the village park, and we bash Uni Betancourt.
Oh.
So that's fun.
That sounds like fun.
It's just a village bashing of Uni. We put his picture up and we throw things at him.
You know, I feel like if you put his face on a pinata, it'd be way more beneficial for everybody. Just for next time. If you have like a meeting about it, I would just throw that out there.
I'll bring it up at the conference.
Yeah, I think it'd be more fun for the kids, you know.
So is there any way we can like bring, if we go tailgating, can we bring a Uni B pinata? For tailgating?
Actually, that's not a terrible idea. Maybe we should do that. If nothing else, it'll get people walking by to stop by and say hello.
Yeah, I mean, it could always work. It's definitely plausible.
We are gonna do the reviewing the brew outing. We're doing it big.
Oh, yeah.
Go big or go home.
I think live podcast. I don't know how we do that necessarily.
Good live vlog.
Yeah. It'd be big.
Yeah,
we still gotta get the tickets, though.
Yeah, I got your stuff. We shouldn't be talking about this on the air. This is secret, private stuff.
Top secret.
But I got your email, Kurt, and I will. And Ben and I did some research on how to do it so that everybody just pays for their own. So anyway, we'll talk about that later.
Yes.
Anyway, trade deadline.
Yes, that. Trade them all.
Okay, let's say hypothetically, and this is not hypothetical. What if the Brewers become buyers?
I don't understand your question.
I don't want to see that happen.
Is this a trick question, Ben?
I don't want to see that happen.
What are we going to be buying?
Josh Prince.
Is it waffles?
It might be waffles. If they're blueberry, does that throw off the offer?
I mean, if you're offering me some blueberry waffles for Uni Betancourt, that's a done deal.
No, if the Brewers pick up the pace magically and just, like, destroy everybody and anything in their sight and decide, hey, we can make a serious run for this, you know, last year they thought, you know, we were done, we can't do anything, we have to trade Zach Greinke, we're going to have to get rid of Sean Markham at the end of the year, there's just no way we can keep these guys. So, is it possible a year from then, you know, near the end of next month, if the Brewers become like gods and just win everything, that they could be seeking somebody, you know, maybe a starter or somebody that they might need, and maybe keep Ramos Ramirez. Is there any way that this could possibly happen? And if so, is there anybody in your guys' mind that the Brewers might be interested in, might need?
Man, as much as I'd love to see the Brewers make a big run for this, and they very well could. This is a team that probably, we've seen them pull off 9 in a row. They could pull off, you know, a couple big win streaks and get themselves back in the wild card race. But I don't want to see them give up a Taylor Youngman or a Helweg or a Jimmy Nelson, or these prospects that, you know, have a lot of upside for, you know, a small chance at the playoffs.
I think you look at the Scooter and Juan Francisco moves, and you just kind of, I think we all need to maybe accept that teams don't generally make a youth movement if they're making a playoff push. Historically, that just isn't how it works. You have a young core, but then you build it with that, and then you build veterans around that. You don't cut the veterans to bring up the youngsters. That's the sign of a team that's, I don't want to say waving the white flag, but doesn't really intend to make a strong push, you know, to mortgage off the next 5 years for a chance to win right now. Because even if, I mean, I guess the, I think the bigger question is, let's say they do all of a sudden put it all together, what the teams would be asking for him.
No.
And that's kind of where I'm at. And so why do any sort of, you know, buying if the reality is that I don't think that there's any piece that could make this team a World Series contender right now that is worth mortgaging, you know, the next 5 years for.
And part of it is seeing the Angels give up Gene Segura for
Gene Segura, Helwig, and Pena.
Yeah, all three of those could be contributors in the big league level in the next 2-3 years.
And
they didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, and Zach Greinke doesn't even play for them anymore.
And they were a better team last year than the Brewers are this year.
Right. So.
And they just lost one of the top shortstops in the game.
Yep.
And speaking of Zach Greinke, we were going to talk about him and getting beamed by Ian Kennedy the other night. And this isn't the first time this season that Greinke's been in an altercation with another team. So.
Why, Ben, whatever do you mean?
Well, he and his good buddy Carlos Quentin kind of got into a little match.
They're friends. I don't really have a problem with beaning. What I have a problem with is hitting a guy in the head, and then when the pitcher steps into the box, you zip one in right at his head. Whether it's Zach Greinke or anybody else, I don't like beaning the pitcher. I don't want to pick sides on this because both teams were very clearly being immature little poopy pantses about it. But whenever a pitcher tries to hit another pitcher in the face with a baseball, that's not right. That's not fair.
Yeah, in the words of Tony La Russa, you can't throw up. There's a lot of small bones in the hand.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Did we really just reference Tony La Russa on this show?
Yeah, it's okay. He's retired now.
Don't worry. Tony La Russa still eats babies.
Oh. Yeah. Still eats babies.
How he keeps his... I don't even know what he keeps.
He stays alive, and that's really what's important.
I mean, obviously...
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, the thing with Zach Greinke, I mean, to have seen... Oh, I'm sorry, Ben. Go on.
Yeah, he's having some technical difficulties, so...
I would have liked to have seen Don Mattingly and Alan Trammell fight. I would have loved to have seen Mark McGwire and, I was just talking about him. What's his name? Matt Williams. I would have loved to have seen those two fight, too. Just fist fighting while all the players watch. You know what else was funny? Was that there were very clearly way, way, way more Dodgers than there were Diamondbacks. Did anybody else notice that? There were... infinitely more Dodgers that came out of that dugout than there were Diamondbacks. How was that possible?
And like even the Diamondbacks that came out were more of the coaching staff.
Yeah, it was. That was weird because there were so many Dodgers.
After the game, it was reported that Zach Greinke said, I don't know. I think the game went kind of well. I guess. I didn't like when he threw at me. It wasn't nice, I guess.
He sounds like Ken Maka.
I don't know.
Ken Maka Todd. I guess.
Sure.
I think Prince and Bronny are. I think they're gonna have a good season. I think they've always got smiles on their face, and a ball player who's happy to be playing ball is you're gonna get good production on the field. There you go, guys. There was the first. It's still rough, but that was Mike Tamaka. He never, and you know, the best part about him is I watched probably 10 different interviews with him. On the very, his press conference, if you watch his press conference when he got fired, he still cannot pronounce Mark Antanasio. It's the best thing ever. Absolutely just cannot say that guy's name. And I don't, it was your boss for 2 years. If you don't know your boss's name after 2 years, you probably should get fired.
Yeah. Wow. Well, heading into this last segment, it's just been great. I'm doing the Ken Mocha thing. Great. It's been a week of ups for the Brewers, so, I mean, it's not like there's a huge picking of people to choose from, at least in my opinion, but obviously, you know, there's always a pitcher and hitter of the week for us and a go-to of the week. So, Kurt, you want to start it off? Who's your pitcher of the week?
My pitcher of the week is Kyle Osher.
Well played.
He threw a dandy on Sunday.
I mean, I'll just go... Well, let's see. Ben, who do you want? Do you want Figueroa or do you want Gallardo?
I was going to say Gallardo.
All right, then I'll take Figueroa. I liked what he did yesterday. He looked confident. He looked comfortable. Yeah, we can sit here and talk about, oh, well, it's the Marlins. Eh, who? It doesn't matter. They're major league hitters. Well, triple-A hitters. And he looked good. He looked confident.
When Figueroa warms up, the barber Seville should be his.
All right, now that's all I'm gonna ever think of when I see him.
Curry.
Figueroa. But yeah, I'll go Figueroa.
All right, Kurt, who's your hitter of the week?
My hitter of the week is Carlos Gomez because he has the infinite swag.
Oh.
And a bobblehead.
Yeah, I kind of have to agree. Carlos Gomez is my pick. So, I mean, it's just a toss-up between him and Segura at this point. I mean, you can throw Weeks in there.
I'm going to blow everybody's mind, and I'm going to say Ricky Weeks. And here's why. Ricky Weeks drove his overall batting average up from last week from a 184 to a 209. He's been batting over 400, and his on-base is almost 500 in the last week. So because he has gotten no credit at any point this season for anything, he can put this on his mantle. Right, Kurt?
On his mantle.
Can I get a Figueroa?
That he has because he doesn't live in Brown Deer.
Right. Can I get a Figueroa?
Figueroa.
Nice. I like that. That's fun.
Goats of the week. So, Lou, this is yours.
I'll go Jim Henderson. Not necessarily. Oh, I'm sorry. That was me. That's going to show up on the recording. I'm going to go with Jim Henderson. Not necessarily because I think he did a bad job this week, but just because he blew that game against the Marlins the other night. And it wasn't even really, I don't know. It wasn't really his fault, but that was the only thing that really sticks out of my mind. It's kind of a goat moment.
I'm going to have to go, and I know this isn't fair because it just isn't, but I'm going to have to go with Logan Schaefer just because, I mean, he obviously doesn't get a lot of chances to play with Braun in left field, but with Braun out, I mean, there's nobody else to go to but Schaefer. And he just hasn't done anything, really. I mean, he had a nice two-hit game, and he had a three-hit game, you know, being in June. But, I mean, he's done nothing at all. And just, I mean, it's not like it's really hurting the Brewers all that much because they are, you know, more dependent on Gomez and Segura and Ramirez. But, I mean, it'd be nice if he could pitch in every once in a while.
I forget that he's on the team sometimes. Like, he'll walk out of the dugout and I'll go, oh, yeah, that guy.
Well, gentlemen, I have Juan Pick.
But I'm Tish.
These wand puns are killing me.
And with that, I retire from baseball.
What would have been great, Kurt, is if you would have said, I only have one pick, and then you pick someone who wasn't Juan Francisco. I only have one pick, John McCoy.
Yeah, I was kind of considering Ron Renicki, because the one game, I forget which game it was just recently, though, he completely mismanaged, and we had, I think, Maldonado was the only guy left as a player, as a guy come off the bench. It was like the ninth inning, and it was almost a tie game. I think it was in the Philadelphia series. I mean, he used Schaefer, he used Gannett, he used Bianchi, and there's literally nobody but Maldonado left. And it's the ninth inning, and I believe it was tied at that point, and you're just like, okay. So that I think that's a runner-up goat, is Ron Renicki.
I think the runner-up goat is your internet.
Yeah.
For blowing some amazing conversations that Kurt and I had during the technical difficulties.
Yeah.
Things that would have blown people's minds, man.
Damn you, Time Warner.
Time Warner.
I don't know. I actually don't know if it's Time Warner or if it's just my router. I have no idea what it is.
Whatever it is, it's fired. Can I get a Figaro?
Figaro.
Never gonna get tired of that.
No, I'm never going to get tired of that. It's just too fun.
I'm going to have to record that and then just have it as my ringtone.
If we were a real like radio program, we could save that as a drop. We'd just have Kurt say, do Figaro one time and then just go, can I get a Figaro? And then press play.
You know what we need? And I mentioned this like when we first started the podcast to Colin, and the idea never really took off. But you know like that one show with, what's his name, Jim Cramer or Mad Money?
Yeah.
We need, like, all the sounds he has.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We need sound effects, and one of them needs to be...
Can we have callers call in?
I don't know. That would be nice, though. I'd love that.
We need a mailbag.
We try to do a mailbag. The problem is that frickin' Eric Weiss is the only one who sends it in, and it's always stuff about my hair. He's a weird guy.
Yeah, we could work on that, so...
Yeah, we
could. For any people who are still listening at this point after the 7,000... technical errors we had. Send us your questions.
Kurt's dad is listening. Mr. Hogg, if you have any questions, please give them to your son so that we can answer them for you.
That aren't about Lou's hair.
Oh, and Justin's parents listen to it. Mr. and Mrs. Schultz. Mr. and Mrs. Schultz, if you have any questions, please send them along.
And if Alfredo Figaro has any questions.
Figaro.
He's in our way, too.
Let's see. Kurt and I did plugs, but it didn't get recorded. Ben, you're the editor. Do you have any plugs other than being the boss?
By plugs, you mean...
Like, anything you're working on that you're excited about, or... I know you also write for another... Or, wait, do you still write for that other site that shall remain nameless, unless you still write for them?
No, I do not, actually. I stopped when I became the editor.
Perfect. Well, good. I didn't like you writing for them anyways.
However, I am considering... writing for Cult of the Pen, though.
Yeah, it's not a bad move.
Because, you know, maybe only 4 articles a month, that's not too bad. I'm actually considering that, though. I'm thinking I might email Aaron.
I'm coming back from, like, a month-long hiatus right now.
Oh. Well, yeah, you haven't written for a while. That happens. Nah, it happens. Don't worry about it. Everybody's had to do that at one point or another.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I'm sticking to writing news articles every day, because I just don't have time to write anything else. So... Yeah. To answer that question, Lou, at the moment, no, I'm currently not working on anything, but I might have a few things in the works in a few days, but we'll see.
Kurt's going to be playing baseball on TV. Do you know what channel, Kurt?
Maybe on channel 32.
32?
But they canceled the game, so.
Oh, but are they not going to retell it? They're not going to, you know, they're not going to televise the replay?
Oh, they probably will. More info coming soon.
Yeah, there you go. Follow Kurt on Twitter for more.
He's our famous... Kurt.
Yeah. The only plug I have is tomorrow going for my screen test for Talking the Talk with Dennis Krause on Comcast Wisconsin Sports, or whatever it is, Fox Sports Wisconsin, whatever it is.
Very nice.
Yeah, so voting will start for that soon. I don't know when. More to come. And I interviewed Frank Catalanato.
Oh, how'd that go?
For the Hall of Very Good. I don't know when it's going to actually go up. It might not actually make it even onto the site. It wasn't. Frank Caledon is a nice guy. He's a good example for all the wee children who are trying to be baseball players, and people tell them they're too small and stuff. He's a nice guy. It's just not great. It's just not a great interview. It's not colorful. It's just very real.
So look up to Frank Calanato, not Ken Maka or Francisco Rodriguez.
Yeah, don't base your life off of a Ken Maka model. Be more like Frank Catalanato.
Well, gentlemen, is there anything else you'd like to add before we end this week's show?
I think we covered it all.
I think we have covered it all. I did one last thing. I would like to apologize for talking about women being punched in the face. I do not condone such actions.
No.
It just seemed funny at that moment in time.
I'm sure that's what he was thinking, too.
Yeah, I mean, if Francisco Rodriguez would have been on the air, he would have thought it, too, so I think it's okay.
We all had a big jolly laugh about it, right?
Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. Can I get a Figaro?
Figaro!
This Figaro brought to you by the famous Kurt Hoag.
So,
well, for those of you listening, thank you for listening, and please stay tuned for next week.
Gotta go!